You were hired to do a job, so do it. Isn't that your code? Aren't you a man of honor?
Previously on The Mandalorian, the IG bounty droid blasts a Nikto.
IG unit, stand down!
He shoots the Mandalorian.
You are a guild member.
I have a suggestion. We split the reward.
The IG unit aims his blaster at the child, but gets shot dead.
I could use a crew member of your ability.
I am honored, but I have worked a lifetime to finally be free of servitude.
Then all I can offer is my thanks.
And I offer mine. Thank you for bringing peace to my valley.
I saw most of my action cleaning up after Endor. Mostly ex-Imperial warlords.
Such a large bounty for such a small package.
Any idea what they're gonna do with it?
I didn't ask. It's against the guild code.
The Mandalorian rescues the child from the safe house and fights his way out. He scorches a stormtrooper with his flamethrower while holding the infant tucked under his other arm. Stars streak by as the Razor Crest flies through space, its bright twin engine standing out among the dark void. On board, the child sleeps as the Mandalorian sets coordinates. He activates a holographic transmission of the Bounty Hunters Guild leader.
My friend, if you are receiving this transmission, that means you are alive. You might be surprised to hear this, but I am alive too. I guess we can call it even. A lot has happened since we last saw each other. The man who hired you is still here, and his ranks of ex-Imperial guards have grown. They have imposed despotic rule over my city, which has impeded the livelihood of the guild. We consider him an enemy, but we cannot get close enough to take him out. If you would consider one last commission, I will very much make it worth your while. You have been successful so far in staving off their hunters, but they will not stop until they have their prize. So here is my proposition. Return to Navarro. Bring the child as bait. I will arrange an exchange and provide loyal guild members as protection. Once we get near the client, you kill him, and we both get what we want. If you succeed, you keep the child, and I will have your name cleared with the guild. For a man of honor should not be forced to live in exile. I await your arrival with optimism.
The guild leader reaches down to end the transmission and flickers out. The Mandalorian turns off his holographic display, then shifts his helmet ponderously. He looks back at the sleeping child. The Mandalorian turns forward again in his pilot seat and remains still for a moment, before reaching out to his nav interface and setting new coordinates. The monitor's navigation grid expands on two planes, while the windowed canopy shows the ship changing course among the starfield. The Razor Crest blinks out of view as it makes the jump to hyperspace. Now, a title appears over black, The Mandalorian. Chapter 7. The Reckoning. The Razor Crest swoops over the lush forests and marshlands of Sorgan, then finds a clearing to make a landing in. In the common house, a crowd of assorted locals watches Cara Dune absorb a backhanded punch from a Dathomirian opponent that she's connected to by a belt of electricity. It flickers each time they move too far away from one another. Kara beckons her opponent closer and trades more blows with him. He flings her into the bar. Catching her breath, she watches him advance on her. As she dodges another blow, he falls off balance and she lands a shot to his horned head. Ducking more of his swipes, she kicks him in the back, then staggers to the end of their tether. His muscular arms grab the electrical belt and start reeling her in. A hard yank moves her a foot closer, but she continues to resist. Finally getting her in range, the Dathomirian throws a haymaker that misses its mark. Kara counters with a body blow, then wrestles him to the floorboards. She wraps the electrical tether around his throat, choking him. He taps out on his belt. The tether evaporates and Kara throws him to the ground.
Hey, I'm not scuffers. Come on. That's mine, thank you. All right, thank you.
Looking for some work?
She sees the Mandalorian and smiles. They head for a table with a small child toddling after them. Later, a server pours Kara a luminescent beverage.
It seems like a straightforward operation. They're providing the plan and firepower. I'm the snare.
With the kid?
That's why I'm coming to you.
I don't know. I've been advised to lay low. If anybody runs my chain code, I'll rot in a cell for the rest of my life.
I thought you were a veteran.
Her opponent pays her.
Come back soon. I've been a lot of things since. Most of them carry a life sentence. If I so much as book passage on a ship registered to the Republic,
I have a ship. I can bring you there and back with a handsome reward. You can live free of worry.
I'm already free of worry. And I'm not in the mood to play soldier anymore. Especially fighting some local warlord.
He's not a local warlord. He's Imperial.
I'm in.
Now, the Razor Crest flies through space. In the cockpit, the Mandalorian sets his nav coordinates.
Does your contact need to vet me?
Doesn't know you're coming.
Really? That could be a problem.
It won't. But if it is, that's his problem.
Leaving the kid in his jump seat, he goes down to the cargo hold and opens his weapons locker.
Are you all right up there alone?
Yeah.
Kara eyes the vast array of military-grade firearms.
Pick one.
She begins handling a number of weapons, expertly feeling them out.
You trust the contact?
Not particularly. He and I had a run-in last time I was there on some guild business.
So then why are we going?
I don't have a choice. You saw what happened on Sorgon. They'll keep sending hunters. The kid will never be safe until the imp is dead.
The child eyes them from the cockpit.
And you're okay with bringing him back there?
Not really. That's why I'm bringing you.
The ship shudders.
Oh.
The two warriors struggle to keep their footing. The Mandalorian climbs up the ladder to the cockpit. The child is standing on the dashboard playing with one of the joystick controls. Fighting for his balance, the Mandalorian slogs over and grabs him. He hands him off to Kara, then takes the helm and regains control. A red emergency display blinks back to normal.
We need someone to watch that thing.
Yeah.
You got anyone you can trust?
Now, the Razor Crest flies to the Mud Planet. A duck-billed lizard creature blinks its eyes and scampers off as the ship swoops in low over the Badlands. The Razor Crest slows down over the Vapor Ranch. As it makes a vertical landing before the setting sun, the Ugnaught calms his blurgs from outside their paddock. Exhaust fumes and jet wash cloud the dusty terrain as the ship touches down. Kara and the Mandalorian approach the Ugnaught at the opening to his shelter while the child drifts alongside them in an improvised pram. The diminutive farmer leads his guests inside. Now the child reaches out to him from inside the Mandalorian's floating tool caddy.
It hasn't grown much.
I think it might be a strand cast.
I don't think it was engineered. I've worked in the gene farms. This one looks evolved, too ugly. This one, on the other hand, looks like she was farmed in the Sido Caves of Nora.
This is Kara Dune. She was a shock trooper.
You were a dropper.
He points to her tattoo.
Did you serve?
On the other side, I'm afraid. But I'm proud to say that I paid out my clan's debt. And now I serve no one but myself.
In walks the IG unit. The two warriors draw their blasters.
Would anyone care for some tea?
Please, lower your blasters. He will not harm you.
That thing is programmed to kill the baby.
Not anymore.
The bounty droid lays out a tea service on a tray. A flashback shows the blaster-scorched Nikto hideout.
It was left behind in the wake of your destruction.
The Ugnaught peers down from a peak astride a blurg. Now he walks in through the blown-open doors.
I found it, laying where it fell.
Silhouetted by the daylight outside, he examines the lifeless remains of the IG unit. He cradles its cylindrical head.
devoid of all life.
He rides out with the mechanical carcass on his blurg.
I recovered the flotsam and staked it as my own in accordance with the charter of the New Republic.
Back at his vapor ranch, he welds some repairs.
Little remained of its neural harness. Reconstruction was quite difficult.
The droid sensor arrays light up.
But not impossible.
In the paddock, it crouches on its wobbly legs.
It had to learn everything from scratch. This is something that cannot be taught with the twist of a spanner.
It shatters a cup.
It requires patience and repetition.
The droid throws down a crate, crushing a lizard creature. As it fills a blurg's trough, it manages to spill most of the slop.
I spent day after day reinforcing its development with patience and affirmation.
The droid practices picking up a vase.
It developed a personality as its experiences grew.
Again, it squeezes too hard, shattering it. Filling the trough once more, it successfully pours all of the slop inside. Another lizard looks up as it carries over the crate. The droid chews the critter away with its foot this time before dropping its cargo. Now it lifts a ceramic carafe in its wobbly arm and slowly pours out some tea into a cup, then repeats the action more assuredly back in the present.
Is it still a hunter?
No, but it will protect.
The droid pivots one of its sensors to look at the Mandalorian, who peers back at it through his opaque visor. It raises a cup.
Tea?
Kara accepts it. Later, the Mandalorian approaches the Ugnaught outside the Blurg paddock.
I've run into some problems.
I figured as much. Why else would you return?
I want to hire your services.
I'm retired from service.
I can pay you handsomely, Ugnaught.
I have a name. It is Queel.
I need someone to protect the little one, Queel.
I'm not suited for such work. I can reprogram IG-11 for nursing and protocol.
No. I don't want that droid anywhere near him.
Why are you so distrustful of droids?
It tried to kill him.
It was programmed to do so. Droids are not good or bad. They are neutral reflections of those who imprint them.
I've seen otherwise.
Do you trust me?
From what I can tell, yes.
Then you will trust my work. IG-11 will join me, and we do it not for payment, but to protect the child from Imperial slavery. None will be free until the old ways are gone, forever.
Okay.
And the Blurgs will join me as well.
The Blurgs?
I have spoken.
The evening tableau wipes away to reveal the Razor Crest leaving the planet's atmosphere. It swoops off, bound for deep space. Inside the cargo hold, Queel feeds one of his blurgs through some netting that forms a makeshift corral. Sitting down, he puts one end of a vapor tube to his mouth, the other end glowing orange. The child watches Kara arm wrestle the Mandalorian.
I got you, Mando.
Care to double the bet?
The infant holds out one of his little clawed hands and narrows his eyes. Kara stops arm wrestling and clutches at her own throat. The Mandalorian sees the child.
No, 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 stop! We're friends! Kara is my friend!
That is not okay!
Very curious.
Curious? It almost killed me!
The story you told me of the Mudhorn now makes more sense.
What is it?
What it is, I don't know. But what it does, this I've heard rumors of.
What? When you worked for the Empire?
When I was sold to the Empire in indentured servitude.
Yet somehow you walk free.
I bought my freedom through the skill of my hands and the labor of three of your human lifetimes. Do not cast doubt upon that of what I am, nor whom I shall serve.
IG-11's red sensors fixate on Kara. The Mandalorian puts the child down in the tool caddy.
Tell you what, I could really use your craft work right now. Can you pad this container so the child can sleep better?
I shall fabricate a better one. Then perhaps this dropper can see how one can win their freedom with the skill of one's hands.
The Ugnaught shuffles off. Later, the child watches him weld some fixtures to the makeshift pram. In the cockpit, the Mandalorian maps out coordinates.
So we're going to Navarro.
Have you ever been?
No. We lost a lot of our forces there. The city's dug in pretty deep. There's no cover when you drop in. Stayed in Empire control to the end of the war.
The warlord we're taking out was an Imperial officer.
What station?
Hard to tell. No insignia anymore. I took out the safe house when I snatched the kid. More imps have reinforced since.
There's something more going on.
Maybe. We'll find out more when we land.
I have prepared second meal. Would you care to be served here or below?
I'm not hungry.
IG-11 takes his leave.
Under no circumstances does that thing leave the ship.
You got a real thing for droids, don't you?
I got a real thing for that droid.
The Ugnaught said he rewired it.
That droid was designed to kill things. I don't care how much wiring he replaced. It goes against its nature.
Well, it shouldn't be a long job anyway. You take out the head imp, the rest will run like rats.
She finishes field dressing her rifle and heads out, leaving the Mandalorian to gaze off into outer space. The Razor Crest makes a swooping arc and soars toward the cloudy, black, volcanic planet of Navarro. On the surface, the guild leader stands waiting with three tough-looking hunters. They all watch the Razor Crest set down atop the black volcanic soil. As it cuts off its engines, the guild leader steps toward it with a stoic look on his mustached face. The gangway swings open to the ground. Three blurgs come down the ramp. The guild hunters are met by Kara, the Ugnaught, and the Mandalorian atop their dinosaur-like steeds.
Sorry for the remote rendezvous, Mando, but things have gotten complicated since you were last here.
The Mandalorian eyes his three associates, one a Nikto, the other two obscured beneath helmets.
It appears that introductions are in order. It seems we've both provided a security detail.
One of them draws back his duster coat to show his sidearm.
I recommend the shock trooper guards the ship. These lava fields are lousy with Jawas.
She's coming with me.
But the town is now run by ex-Empire. If a rebel dropper is with us, they'll all get their hackles up.
She's coming.
Fine. At least cover your tattoo. No need to flaunt it. Now, where is the little one?
While Queel and Kara swap uneasy looks, the Mandalorian taps his wrist control. The newly modified egg-shaped pram floats out to the guild leader. Its hatches fold open to reveal the timid child inside. The guild leader steps forward.
So?
The Mandalorian touches his sidearm.
This little bogwing is what all the fuss was about.
The two helmeted bounty hunters watch him as their leader lifts the child out.
What a precious little creature! I can see why you didn't want to harm a hair on its wrinkled little head.
As he sets him back down, the Mandalorian lets go of his sidearm.
Well, I'm glad this matter will be put to rest once and for all.
The Mandalorian remotely seals the pram and floats it back alongside the blurbs.
The sun drops fast on Navarro. We can walk for a spell, then camp out at the riverbank, then make our way into town at first light.
The two old acquaintances stare each other down. Later, the group traverses an open wasteland cut through by streams of lava. The guild members lead the group on foot across the black terrain, followed by the Mandalorian and his two friends astride their blurgs. From atop an elevated swell of cooled lava, a scruffy goat-like creature looks up from its grazing and watches them pass. After dark, one of the bounty hunters carries a shovelful of lava from a stream and uses it to feed a campfire where a carcass roasts on a spit. The Nikto drinks from a tin cup. The group all stares reflectively into the fire. Eating some meat off a bone, Kara keeps her eyes on the bounty hunters. Queel feeds some of the roasted meat to the child in his pram. His pointy ears perk up as he chews.
I guess the little buggers are carnivore. Never seen anything like it. They were ready to pay King's ransom for that thing. Must be for some kind of highfalutin menagerie.
Let's go over the plan again.
We both enter the common house. We show the client the bait. We join him at the table, and you kill him.
Tell me about his reinforcements.
They're all ex-Empire. As soon as they lose their paycheck, they'll all scatter.
And what if they don't?
They will.
That's not good enough.
If, for argument's sake, a few of them don't realize that I'm their best path to alternative employment, and they elect to react impulsively, then these three fine guild hunters, along with that battle-hardened shock trooper, will cut down anyone who bucks.
How many will there be?
No more than four. He travels with, at most, a fire team. Trust me. Nothing can go wrong.
A shadowy Reptavian swoops down and snatches some meat from his hands before flying back into the darkness. The group opens fire on it. The Mandalorian seals the child's pram. As a second Reptavian swoops in, Kara releases a volley from her heavy drum blaster. The group fires aimlessly into the night sky, their flashes revealing glimpses of flapping wings. One of the flying reptiles snatches an entire blurb. Kara guns for it with her automatic blaster fire. One of the bounty hunters gets snatched. The others quickly open fire, but he disappears into the night sky. As a second blurb gets besieged, Kara picks off its Reptavian attacker. A Talon grabs the Mandalorian and drags him to the ground. The Reptavian stomps on the armored bounty hunter, who scorches it with his flamethrower. As it flies away on fire, Kara pelts it with repeated blaster bolts. Another Reptavian flaps after it in retreat. The survivors regroup, forming a tight perimeter around their camp as the night sky settles into stillness. The Mandalorian opens the pram to check on the child. Seeing the guild leader writhing in pain, the Ugnaught rushes over to him. A good chunk of flesh has been torn from his arm.
He's hurt badly.
I'm fine.
Hold still. They got you good.
Kara opens a med pack and sticks him with an injector.
How bad?
Bad. The poison's spreading fast.
The two surviving guild hunters share a look.
So this is how it happens.
Don't be so dramatic. I need another med pack. Got any other med packs? Anyone?
I'm guessing that's a no.
Kara runs a scanner up and down his wound.
It's still spreading. This isn't working.
The child comes over and reaches out.
Get this thing out of here.
Wait.
He lays his tiny hand upon the wound.
He's trying to eat me.
The child narrows his eyes in concentration, his ears pointed out horizontally. With a wince, the guild leader peeks down at the little three-fingered hand resting on his arm below a high-tech tourniquet. The Mandalorian cranes in for a closer look and witnesses the wound healing. The guild leader's anguished face relaxes a bit. The child holds on, his tiny little body shaking. Once the gash on the man's arm is closed up, he finally lets go and slumps back. The others trade stunned looks. The Mandalorian watches as the last few scrapes heal completely on the guild leader's arm. The next day, the group continues its trek across the lava fields, with Queel riding the only blurb that's left. The guild leader speaks with his two remaining hunters while gesturing to his healed arm. Behind them, Kara walks with the Mandalorian.
You think they're having second thoughts?
Could be. I need your eyes.
I'm watching.
The pram floats alongside them. The image wipes away to a new vantage point of the town in the distance. As the party arrives at the overlook, the pram floats to a stop alongside the Mandalorian. Stepping out ahead of him and Kara, the guild leader peers out toward their destination.
I guess this is it.
The two hunters walk up behind them, gripping their weapons. The guild leader quickly spins around with a pair of pistols and shoots past Kara and the Mandalorian before they can react. The two hunters fall dead.
Something you should know.
Holstering his blasters, he walks over to the corpse of the Nikto assassin, kicks it onto its back, and boots a pistol out of its hand.
The plan was to kill you and take the kid. But after what happened last night, I couldn't go through with it.
Kara and the Mandalorian aim their guns at him.
Go on, you can gun me down here and now. And it wouldn't violate the code, but if you do, this child will never be safe.
We'll take our chances.
The Imperial client is obsessed with obtaining this asset. You tried to run, but where did it get?
This is ridiculous.
Perhaps you should let him speak.
Listen, we both need the client to be eliminated. Let me take the child to him, and then you two...
No.
Let's just kill him and get out of here.
He's right.
The Mandalorian holsters his sidearm.
What are you doing?
As long as the imp lives, he'll send hunters after the child.
It's a trap.
Bring me.
Bring you?
Tell him you captured me. Get me close to him, and I'll kill him.
That's a good idea. Give me your blaster.
This is insane.
It's the only way.
Well, I'm coming with you.
No, no, no. That would make them suspicious.
I don't care. I'm coming.
Tell him she caught me.
Fine. Then she can bring the child.
No. The kid goes back in the ship.
But without the child, none of this works.
I have a plan. Quill, ride back to the Razor Crest with the child and seal yourself in. When you're inside, engage ground security protocols. Nothing on this planet will breach those doors.
Here's a comlink. I will keep the child safe.
To Kara.
Don't forget to cover your stripes.
Let's go.
The Mandalorian produces a pair of manacles and hands them to the guild leader, who clips them over his wrists. Quill twists a setting into his comlink. Kara wraps a bandana around her shock trooper tattoo. The guild leader readies a pistol in either hand. Quill lifts the child out of his pram. Patting it over his shoulder, he turns away from the others. The hatches fold shut on the egg-shaped pram. The child peers over the Ugnaught's shoulder as they make their way toward the Blurg and watches the others shuffle off toward the town. His dewy black eyes blink curiously. Outside the city gateway, two scout troopers recline against their speeder bikes, casually standing guard. The party of three approaches with the closed pram in tow. One of the troopers straightens on his bike as he sees them. With his wrists still cuffed, the Mandalorian swaps a look with Kara. The other trooper stands up lackadaisically to intercept the trio.
Chain code.
I have a gift for the boss.
Chain code.
The guild leader takes out his chit and hands it to the guard for scanning. The trooper looks up at the Mandalorian, then back down at the chain code.
I give you 20 credits for the helmet.
Not a chance. That's going on my wall.
On your wall.
Go with it.
Go ahead.
He returns the chit to the guild leader, who ushers his prisoner forward. The guards watch them walk into town, where they find the streets swarming with stormtroopers.
You said four. There are more than four troopers.
Four guarding the client. Many more here in town. Things got really heated once Mando crashed the safe house.
Slip him his blaster.
Not yet.
Kara gives him a suspicious sidelong glower. The Mandalorian looks down at the closed pram floating alongside him. Meanwhile, the Ugnaught rides his Blurg back across the lava fields, holding the child tucked in his arm. Back in the city, the group arrives outside a building with a canvas awning.
Here we are.
They enter the public house, the guild leader shoving the Mandalorian ahead through the doorway. Four stormtroopers stand guard inside.
You see? Four.
The Imperials keep a close watch on the trio as they proceed down some steps. The client rises from a back booth. Stepping forth, he lays eyes on the cuffed Mandalorian.
Look what I brought you, as promised.
The client examines the prisoner's shiny new armor.
What exquisite craftsmanship. It is amazing how beautiful Beskar can be when forged by its ancestral artisans. Can I offer you a libation to celebrate the closing of our shared narrative?
I would be obliged.
The client waves to a droid behind the bar.
Please sit.
More troopers enter.
It is a shame that your people suffered so. Just as in this situation, it was all avoidable. Why did Mandalore resist our expansion? The Empire improves every system it touches, judged by any metric. Safety, prosperity, trade, opportunity, peace. Compare Imperial rule to what is happening now. Look outside. Is the world more peaceful since the revolution? I see nothing but death and chaos. I would like to see the baby.
It is asleep.
We all will be quiet.
Standing beside the booth, Kara shifts her nervous gaze.
Open the pram.
A stormtrooper approaches the client. The stern-faced old man rises from the booth.
Don't think me to be rude. I must take this call.
He walks away, leaving the trio alone. The Mandalorian slips his hands out of his cuffs as a stormtrooper opens a portable holo communicator on the bar.
Give me the blaster.
You get one shot.
This is bad. You said four.
Well, there are more. What can I tell you?
A hologram of a caped figure rises from the communicator.
Yes, Moff Gideon.
Have they brought the child?
Yes, I have. Currently, it is sleeping.
You may want to check again.
The client shifts his eyes disquietedly. Blaster fire riddles the public house from outside, cutting a hole straight through him and decimating the stormtroopers. The bar droid runs around in a panic. Moff Gideon's hologram reaches down and vanishes. The trio takes cover behind their table. The blaster fire lays waste to the droid, then abruptly ceases, leaving a long, narrow gap where an opaque window once stood. The three survivors rise up with their weapons and spread out to separate strategic positions. They keep to the shadows as sunlight streams in through the gap. The Mandalorian carefully looks outside and sees a firing team of black-armored death troopers. Behind them, an Imperial troop transport arrives and lets out a squad of fresh stormtroopers.
Four stormtroopers?
They fall in line around the firing team, completely surrounding the facade of the public house. From behind a pockmarked wall, Kara glances out at the army that now awaits them.
This is bad.
Queel, are you back to the ship yet? Are you there? Do you copy?
Yes!
Are you back to the ship yet?
Not yet.
Get back to the ship and bail. Get the kid out of here. We're pinned down!
The Ugnaught snaps the reins of his blurg. Listening in on the conversation, the two scout troopers outside the city gate mount their speeder bikes and zoom off toward the lava plains. Back at the public house, the death troopers keep their heavy blaster rifles trained at the gap in the wall. Kara peeks out again and sees a TIE fighter descending from the sky, its side screens folding shut into landing position. Black volcanic dust roils up in its jet wash as it extends its landing gear and settles down into the square behind the perimeter of Imperial forces. The trio inside the public house all watch from their positions of cover. Out on the lava fields, Queel holds the child tightly as he rides his blurg at a gallop. The speeder bikes swiftly cover ground behind him. Laying eyes on the Razor Crest in the distance, the Ugnaught snaps his reins harder. Back in the city, a hatch folds open on the TIE fighter's cockpit dome. In front of it, the troopers all stand perfectly still, weapons trained on the public house. The silhouette of Moff Gideon emerges from the ship. The trio pinned down inside watches as the caped figure makes his way through his imposing retinue of soldiers. Wearing a uniform of black armor, he calmly steps out in front of his elite death troopers to reveal his slicked down hair, thin mustache, and severe demeanor.
You have something I want.
Who's this guy?
You may think you have some idea what you are in possession of, but you do not.
Queel, are you back to the ship yet? They're on to us.
The flying speeder bikes bob over the uneven terrain of cooled lava.
Queel, come in!
In a few moments, it will be mine.
One of the scout troopers throttles to a higher gear and closes in on the Ugnaught as he nears the ship.
Queel, do you copy? Queel!
The ramp opens.
It means more to me than you will ever know.
Queel! Are you there?
The child now lies on the ground.
Queel, come in!
A scout trooper swoops up beside the kid and snatches him away.
Queel! Are you there? Do you copy? Queel!
The lifeless Ugnaught lies with his arm outstretched toward his comlink, with the corpse of his blurg behind him. Cut to black. Audio description by Deluxe, funded by Disney Plus Originals, voiced by Nicole Zanzarella.